Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory be to God. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Glory be to God.
Loose the chains that have bound me. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God Almighty.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God Almighty.
Oh, He's faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So you know, you already know what the title of this is, even in this.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Even in this. We're just going to just keep right along with that theme. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Even in this. Glory be to God. You feel me?
Hallelujah. You are still God that is good.
Lord, my Lord and my God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God Almighty.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Even in this. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Even in this.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I'm just thinking about, you know, I've been talking the last couple of days with Alfred Fellow Horton Jr. and how two of his children, there's three friends that two of the children, Avion drawing a blank on his daughter's name, Asia, they know. So three friends, mutual friend between the two, who committed suicide recently, young black people. And that sister, as the Lord was speaking through her, even in this, to think about the Gaines family, keep the Gaines family in your prayers, keep the Horton family in your prayers. That even in this, He is still God. That's what I'm just hearing. Even in this, it's a challenging time, very challenging when young people are taking their lives at 23, 20, 19 years old, at that age thinking there's no more to live for. Mm-hmm. Even in this, we must remain firm, steadfast, standing on the word of God, immovable. This is war. Sister Rolanda, the Lord through her spoke it. We're here getting more armament, more encouragement to go back out there and continue fighting the war.
Yes.
Saints, make no mistake about it. This is war. Even in this, war is what we're talking about. And so for the few minutes that we have here, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about warfare. This is war. Period. There's an enemy out there. And he's lying to young people, telling them there's something better than this life. That on the other side, you can find better. And that's a lie. If you're not born again, it's the great deception. It's the word, Greek word for to deceive, guile. It's the word that means sort of like a fish hook with bait. And I use that on purpose. Listen. A baited fish hook deceives, listen, it tricks the fish into thinking that it's going to get a meal. But the fish hook actually causes the fish to become a meal. That's some diabolical deceit. I mean, I don't mean to laugh at the fish, but the fish think it's going to get a meal, but becomes a meal. I'm about to say, let me say that again, because nobody reacted, but now I said it again, you got it. Well, on a more diabolical level, suicide is couched or founded in the lie that there's something better than the pain you're going through right now. It's a lie telling you that get out of here from this pain. So you're thinking you're going to get alleviated from the pain. And if you're not born again, you're into much worse pain. That's a diabolical lie. Now I know that if your nieces, nephews, cousins, grandchildren, I know they're not saved, they won't understand, but what you need to tell them is, hey, you need to reconsider about going to the other side. Let's say your grandson or your, you know, come to you and say, I'm gonna kill myself. You know, well, you need to think about that. Even though they might not understand the word, but you can let them know, hey, heaven is real and so is hell. And you and be frank with them. Hey, you think that you're going to jump out of this frying pan into some cool, refreshing water. But let me tell you something. You're going to jump out of this into the fire. You think twice about that. You think twice about that. You are not getting any relief. Nephew, niece, granddaughter, grandson, auntie, uncle, even. That's a lie. It's a lie, just like the baited hook. It's a lie. We really need to pray. Yes, for the young people, but for the parents of the young people. There just isn't that guidance. Where's the direction? They're finding it out in whoever's going to tell them something. Whoever. And the devil is saying, great. You're not going to guide them like you're supposed to. Then I'll certainly guide them. I'll send them this rapper. I'll send them this movie. I'll send them this. Whatever it is. That's war. And the enemy does not play fair. He never has, and he never will. He waits for until you are the most vulnerable. Then he'll come with a full-on attack. Because his goal is to take you out. He comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Who said that? Jesus. Jesus said that. These verses I'm about to go over, you already know them. Probably forward and backwards. But hear them again. This is war. This is war. And in war, there's no time for being nice in a sense. You tell your nephews, you tell your grandchildren, whoever it is, look here, boy, you need to tighten yourself up. You need to look here. Serious out here, dude. I don't care if you grab him by the collar and tell him, hey, this is much love. That's why I'm grabbing you like this. Listen. They don't need, what they don't need right now is sugar-coated Frosty Flakes garbage. They don't need that. They need to be told, hey, there's an enemy that's way beyond what you can see. And they don't understand the devil, don't even care. Tell them about him anyway, because he's real whether they know it or not. It's like not believing in gravity. Why are you jumping out the 100th floor of I don't know what building it is now, the Sears Tower. Gravity, it don't make a difference. The devil is real. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. And quiet is kept, the young people are wrestling with flesh and blood. There's an enemy that's planning this in their minds. There's an enemy who's causing fathers not to be fathers. There's an enemy who's convincing parents not to parent. In the name of selfishness. In the name of I'm going to do me. really don't care what happens to you. Now, they won't say that out loud. Oh, I would never tell my child this. No, ma'am, you might not say it out your big mouth, but your lifestyle certainly is screaming it. The proof is in the fact you're not spending time with it. My nephew was, I don't think I've ever told you this before, my nephew, he died now, Michael, my oldest brother's son. He died of a, he was dying of a very aggressive cancer, but I say the Lord had mercy on him, and he slipped on some ice, fell, hit the back of his head, and about 3 days later he was dead because it was a brain bleed. He hit his head, got up, thought he was okay, but at the same time it started bleeding in the back of the brain, and so he was in for a chemo treatment, and right in the middle waiting to go to the treatment and waiting room, he became not comatose, but he couldn't speak. He wasn't speaking properly. He wasn't making any sense. I don't know what word that is, but he became irrational suddenly. And then they rushed him. He was already at U of M for the chemo, and they rushed him right from that waiting room on the cancer wing straight to ER. And there's when he died. But I bring that point up. My nephew was talking suicide at 12 years old. 12 years old. Let me tell you something. If you think that this enemy, the devil, Satan, is a fair play warrior, you got another thing coming. He's coming after children, the most helpless, in waves. And it doesn't make a difference what your ethnicity is. He doesn't care. I just want to kill, steal, and destroy at all costs, period. And us knuckleheaded Christians don't seem to understand that there's a war going on. We just la-di-da-di, twiddling our thumbs, trying to get our best life now, and not realizing while we're do-de-do, the first half hour of Private Ryan is going on. Bomb bursting in there, flamethrowers, everything is going on. We have no idea because the knuckleheaded preachers aren't even going to talk about it. And I tell you, that is a disservice to the people of God. To not even know that there's a war going on, let alone that you are, if you're born again, you've already been equipped to fight the war, but they didn't tell you how. One, they didn't tell you that there's war going on, and two, how to fight it. Because you can fight it and you can win. That's why it's a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean? You got to walk this thing out trusting in God, his power, his might, because you can't make it on your own. Former co-worker of mine taught in Detroit, had a 10-year-old, still haven't got that one out of my mind, 10-year-old commit suicide. Bed sheet around the neck in his bedroom. 10 years old, fourth grade. See, in our humanity, what we want to do is go get the biggest gun we can find, or the biggest bazooka, and shoot the devil. Because we want to do something physical. That's mean, he shouldn't do that. Thank God we got his word. Because that's the bazooka. That's how we get that nut. And whatever word you can teach the unsaved, speak it into them. Speak it over them. Miss Glenn, you got, 9 million cousins, nieces and nephews and grandchildren? A ton. And they know a lot of young people, all the young people who are of a certain age. Not only is it just your family, but the ones who they know. Father God, I pray for these young people of all ethnicities, They all going through it. Red, brown, yellow, black or white, young or old, well, rich or poor. I'm focusing on the young now. I'm talking about 25 and under. Just going through it. Whether it be in Plymouth, where several students in the Plymouth County Community Schools have committed suicide this year. Whether it be in Romulus or Bellevue or Detroit. Where do we begin, Father? Let's pray first for the parents, that they will parent. Since you gave those children to those parents, I'm begging on you to move on them to parent their children. Fathers, be a father. Be the keeper of your castle. An example to your children. Beg them, you, that you keep mothers out of, first of all, out of other folks' matters, being busybody, and stay in their own homes and mother their own children. Spend time with them. Nurture them. Be an example to them. So that when they get to be 12, 10, they won't think that life is already over because you've spent no time with them. Made them feel like garbage, that nobody cares for me. That's the lie of the enemy. Secondly, I pray for the children. They aren't being parented. Ooh-wee. They're kind of out there on their own. But Father, nothing is too difficult for you. Save them. Uh-oh, go back. Save the parents too. First, save them. Save them. Save them. Bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Secondly, now we pray for those children. Those who are alone, whose parents, mother and father, have abandoned them. And they're living out in the streets. Or from bed to bed, couch to couch. Really no place to call home, no roots to lay down. Watch over them, guide them, run them into a godly man, run them into a godly woman, somebody who knows God, that can speak a word into their life. Maybe they may be on their way to commit suicide. And they run into one of your people, Father. Send them that way, or send us to them. That you may touch in a special way. I pray for all the guardians. Because if the parents aren't doing, they stay with grandma, auntie, an older cousin, whoever is in charge of these children. Give them wisdom, please, Father. Save them as well. Father, this seemed like an out of control, hopeless, helpless situation, but that's because I'm looking at it from Greg Harris's viewpoint. It is out of control for me and my strength and my wisdom and my might and skill and power, which amounts to negative 20, let alone zero. But through you, all things are possible. With man, it is impossible, but with you, all things are possible. And Father, I have to remember that even in this, you are still in full control. Even in this, you are still the sovereign God of the universe. Even in this storm, you are still sitting on the throne of grace. We're thankful that our prayers, your eyes are over the righteous and your ears are attentive to our prayers. Pray for every family member, a word of life sitting in this room today, who is going through, whether they are thinking of suicide, whether they are on drugs, whether there's depression and sadness and sorrow and all of the other things. I just pray for every member right now. First of all, save. Secondly, heal, particularly in the mind and in the emotions. Take the taste of drugs out of their mouth supernaturally, please. Heal the mind. Touch the minds in a special way. Remove depression, please. Help us to hear what David said. Why so downcast if they are born again, that they must transfer their trust and their hope from themselves, from the situation, and unto God, even in this. We need you like never before. We need you to make a way, Waymaker. We need you to make a way. Prince of Peace, we need your peace. The God of all comfort, we need your comfort. As I jump around in my prayers, I'm thinking of the Gaines family. They need you in a mighty way. Show up and show out for your glory, for your glory, for your honor. Show up and show out. Save that family if they're not saved. I get so mad when these preachers are standing up there trying to be politicians and don't want to hurt nobody's feelings and rather not give out the word of God. They rather make it soft and ice cream and cotton candy rather than giving them the meat of your word. There's power in your word. Power to walk right. Power to talk right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Power to live right. Thank you, Jesus. It's your word that can break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Hallelujah. Woo, I feel it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, these folks are shackled, Father God. They're in chains. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. The shackles are on their minds. Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine forth. Take off the shackles from their eyes that they may see. And that'll lead to some serious dancing. Oh, touch these young people in a special way. Touch these family members who are going through in a special way. Oh, Father God, as I go back to my apostolic sanctified roots, touch them in a special way. Touch them as only you can touch them. Heal as only you can heal. Restore as only you can restore. Comfort as only you can comfort. Help us to be ready to do our part. Help us to be ready to do our part. Help us to be ready, third time, to do our part. When you say go, we'll go. When you say speak, we'll speak. When you say do, we will do. Help us to use these troubling dark times to push ourselves out of ourselves to help somebody else. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I really have to practice proper breathing when I think about what pastors are doing. to the body. I get so exercised. You want to use the pulpit as stand-up comedy to hour or something. You got all this going on. Some quick word before we go. No word of God is void of power, right? Yeah, so we don't need a lot. Let me just, let's run over here to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10.2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, what does that mean? We're human. We live in the flesh. We live in a fleshly body, a natural physical body. He said, though we're human beings walking around this earth, comma, we are not waging war according to the flesh. That B clause of that verse is telling us two things, Mr. Chris. One, that we're in a war. Two, the way we fight this war is not according to the flesh. So it's not guns, knives, bullets, bombs. There's a war, but it's and we're to fight it, but not according to the flesh. So there's three things it's told us. One, there's a war. Two, we're to fight. Three, this war is spiritual and not natural. Three things in that one half of that verse. You see, I know this already. Be quiet. Hear it again. You want a reminder? Go to the funerals of these young people. I can't survive them, but watch a documentary on child sex slavery. Tell me that this enemy is out there. There's a war out there. Just told us. For though, he said, we're not waging war. He's not even going on the fact, like, yeah, you know it's a war. I'm telling you that the way we fight in this war that's already going on is not with natural, physical, earthly weapons. Verse 4, for the weapons of our, who's our? The children of God. You hear what I'm saying? We're spirit beings first, Ms. Phyllisi. That's why he's telling us, for the weapons of our children of God, spiritual warfares are not carnal, natural, earthly, physical. Because the our spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, comma, but have divine power to destroy strongholds, to destroy, to overthrow the destruction of fortresses, strongholds. Verse 5 is so crucial. We destroy arguments and lofty opinions. Like, what? Those are the strongholds? Ideas, opinions, reasonings? Yes, where does suicide begin? Between the ears. This is so insightful. We have the truth. We understand it. We want to think, oh, it's this, is that, the black man, the white man, the blue man, the grime. We all want to blame somebody else and this, that, and the other. When we recognize, no, behind all of that, see, black, white, red, brown, this, and that, and the other, all of that is human. And he says, we're not fighting humans. We're not wrestling humans, flesh and blood, but against. And it's this kingdom of darkness that is stratified and arrayed and organized. That's who we're fighting. Yes. Where the devil aims his fiery darts is at the mind. Isn't that something that the stronghold or fortress at the end of verse 4 goes right into what they are. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion arguments, theories, reasonings, and every proud and lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Raised against, meaning it has set itself as the authority over the Word of God. And we're to take some thoughts, every thought, all thought, and do what? Captive. To what? Obey Christ. To the obedience of Christ. To the Word of God. So you take those thoughts that are sitting in your mind, and you are, and me, we're to do this. We're to capture those thoughts and lead them away to the obedience of the Word of God. No, the Word of God says this. So you're alive, thought. That this stuff matching this. So that's why you gotta know the Word to know that's a thought. Remember the Word of God says in Psalm 119, something like, I understand your word, therefore I hate every false way. Well, how do you know the way is false? Because you understand the Word. See, these young people don't know the Word. So they don't know there's a lie going in their mind, going over and over and over and over. You say, well, that's unfair. He doesn't play fair. That's why whenever you're in their presence, you better be holy and righteous. Show them something. And you better not mess up. These is way too crucial of times. I just keep telling Gene, I just keep seeing all your people. It's a lot of them. Lord, touch them, please. Please. Yeah, your people are all down on my heart. I keep seeing the ones that come to church, this little cherub face, little cute, I forgot her name. Yep, that's her name. That's when it's on my heart. That because I keep seeing her face. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. How old is she? 14. Her name is Tamiah. Tamiah. Father Tamiah, we lift her to you. You have her on my heart kind of strong right now, or in my spirit, and I see her face. Father God, you know what's going on with her. I don't know, and I ain't got to know. We just obey you. Hallelujah. Oh, we touch in a special way, Father God. Hallelujah. Surround her with folks that are going to speak life into her life and get everybody out of her life that's not uplifting her for your glory. Remove them in the name of Jesus. And whatever anybody that's around her that ain't right have put in her head, here we go with those fortresses. I ask that you tear down and destroy what's ever in her mind. That's a lie from the pit of it, from the devil himself. Hallelujah. Surround her with folks that'll speak that word. Amen. Be discerning. Speak a word in due season. Protect this child from sex slavery. In Jesus' name. That's what we got to pray nowadays, Father, because it's gotten that bad. Protect her, Father God. Protect her. I'm hearing protect her. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know if she's in some imminent danger, but protect her right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Cover her in your blood. Ah, the blood that never loses its power. Tamiah. Bless her, child. Bless her, Lord God Almighty, in Jesus' name. Woo-wee. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. Gee whiz. We ought to destroy every argument, every reasoning, every theory, and every proud and lofty opinion that tries to lift its head over and above the authority of the knowledge of the Word of God. And then we are to take and lead every thought and every purpose, take it away, captive to the obedience of Christ. No thought, no theory, no reasoning. You got to obey the Word. The Word of God says A, you're saying B. Word of God says A and you're saying B. Even in this war, we must recognize that there is war. We must recognize who the enemy is. We must recognize what our weapons are. We have one, the Word of God. That's all we need. We got to realize that. Very quickly, 1 Peter 5 and 8. Thank you for your patience. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober-minded, which means to be well-balanced and temperate and sober of mind. Be watchful, which means to be vigilant and cautious at all times, at all times, at all times. Why? Your adversary, your enemy, who is your enemy? He's an enemy of yours. He's an enemy of mine, of me. He's an enemy of us. Because he's an enemy of God. He's an enemy. He's called an enemy. Then it tells you who he is. The devil, Diabolos. The accuser. Who is like a roaring lion on the prowl, seeking, searching for someone to gulp down whole and devour. Isn't that something? That's just evil. He's just on the prowl to see who he can kill. Just looking for somebody to kill. And who is he going to go towards? Yeah. Or the weak, the helpless, the vulnerable. Man, that's disturbing. I'm looking for the weakest one. That's why children are so vulnerable. There's an enemy. Verse 9, resist him. There's a command. He didn't say speak to him. He didn't say cast him out, speak to the devil. Nowhere in scripture are you ever commanded to speak to the devil. Jesus did, but we're never commanded to speak to the devil. He was following his father's rule. I rebuke you. Satan, come out. He didn't tell us to do that. He said resist him. How? Standing firm in your faith. That Greek word means against his onset. So as soon as he comes at you, you are rooted in faith, firm, feet firm, trusting in the power and might of God. That's what he says to do, stand firm on the word. Amen. He didn't say to go rebuking him, speaking to him. Because you know you can speak to him and be in disobedience. That's the problem. If you obey the word of God, that hollers at him. That's all the speaking you need. It's to obey the word of God. Took me some years to undo that other crazy teaching I've been taught. It says here, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world, knowing you ain't the only one. So don't go me that nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nope. That's what this verse does. It gets rid of that. Because what the devil tried to tell you, ain't nobody's going through what you're going through. You ain't there by yourself, girl. Ain't nobody felt what you felt. To try to get you isolated. And it's a trick of the enemy. Try to get you to feel sorry for yourself. And isolate you off into thinking that you're the only one and nobody can go through what you're going through. Last thing. And I promise you this is the last. Ephesians chapter 6. And we are done, Lord willing. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Okay, so number one, we found out there's a war.
We find that it's spiritual and that we must fight. And that our weaponry is spiritual. Number two, we find out who the enemy is. It's the devil. Okay, who's on the prowl. We find out how we ought to fight him. Standing firm in our faith concerning the word of God. Here, number 11, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord. Uh-oh, where's our strength supposed to come from? The Lord. David said, look to the hill, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Technically speaking, you don't have to look to the hills anymore per se, but that's okay. It's all can be symbolic. Knowing, bottom line, our help comes from the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of strength of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor. Okay, there's an armor. Why? Because we're in a war. Whose armor is it? God's armor. Why do we need to do that? That we may be able to stand against, successfully, against the schemes, strategies, tricks, and deceits of the devil. Here it is, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against human beings. We don't have physical opponents. That's where we get toe up. We're looking at cousin, uncle, out to crazy at that, and we get distracted. The devil like, good. They're not aiming their gun. They're not swinging that sword at me because I'm the real enemy. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against physical opponents, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over the present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, a four-layer stratified organized kingdom. As a result of that, take up the whole armor of God, and he tells you to put all that on. And in verse 17, he says, and take this helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's your offensive weapon. Everything else is to protect you. That's to go after you. Doesn't that sound like you need to get the word daily if that's our only weapon? Yeah, because if you don't know how to use the sword, you don't get it daily, then how are you going to use the sword? Because do we not need to fight daily? You think the devil take days off for you? Oh, Miss Cheryl tired. You know, her day wasn't that great. Let me just leave her alone. You don't think like that. Because the day you are tired, the day you think you're chilling and you're having a real bad day, you know he's coming. Because that's how he operates. He's waiting for you to be weak and vulnerable. And he comes. That's why our strength must be in the Lord, because our strength may be gone. That's why Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then he is strong. He said, his strength is perfected in my weakness. Once he got that revelation, Brother Clyde, then he says, I'll glory in my infirmities and my shortcomings and my weaknesses. I'll glory in them, because when I am weak, he is strong. But you got to learn that. You got to learn that, even in this. Father God, we have an enemy. You've given it to us. He's Satan. He's the devil. He's accused of the brethren. He's a slanderer. He's a liar. He's a cheater. He's a destroyer. He's a killer. He's a robber. A perverter. But I thank you for the promise of 1 John 4:4, for the fact that greater, stronger, mightier is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I stand on that promise. We stand on that promise. So no matter how imposing he may look to us as human beings, he's no match for you and your word. We stand on your word, even in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.